On today's Talk Zone Newsmaker interview, Jack Stahl, former Coca-Cola president and CEO of Revlon. And he's going to share his insights on leading any organization to greater success.
Jack, you've obviously worked with and interacted with many managers during your corporate career. Would you say overall there's a real need for most managers to build their skills out there?
Absolutely. I think that it is a very competitive world out there, and I think we all see that and face that. But I do think that the key differentiator is going to be those organizations and those companies that consistently have well-trained people with solid skills. Those companies are going to be best prepared to lead in the marketplace.
Well, I guess this goes back to an old question, you know, are people born as leaders or are they made as leaders? Can you teach people to become leaders in management?
I think so. I think, you know, there's the question always about, is a charismatic approach necessary or otherwise? And I've seen very confident, very strong leaders who weren't particularly charismatic, but had a clear understanding of how to set a destination for an organization, understood the importance of detail and execution, and were great at developing people and strengthening their teams. And they made great leaders despite the fact that it was a set of skills that they learned over the course of their careers.
Now, you spent 22 years at Coca-Cola, and obviously you didn't start as president. When you got in there, did you set your sights on becoming president, or did the cards just fall in the right places and worked out that way? Or were you really driven and you said, I'm going to be president someday?
Well, I knew even as a kid that I wanted to run a business when I grew older. I watched my father, who ran a manufacturing company. It was a family-owned business, and I knew I wanted to lead and run something. And at Coke, you know, I was more focused at that time on performing and having an impact in the jobs that I was in, starting in finance. But at the same time, making sure that I was around people and around bosses that could help me learn and help me grow as long as I performed. So I was more focused on performance and learning at that point. But that approach and being around great people helped me get to those kind of leadership roles that I ultimately achieved.
So that would be a piece of advice for anybody who wants to get to the top, is to really not focus on, I want to do that, but to focus on what you're doing today and do it as best you can.
Absolutely. I lay out in the book a series of core skills that I think can be important to people in any role that they're in, whether they're in finance or marketing or sales. And I believe if people gain those core skills, then over time they open up a lot of career options for themselves, not just one, and not just one single path, but have many more choices that can help them continue to grow and have impact.
Well, let's jump into your book, because you have really put down on paper here some really key skills for people to become leaders or to improve themselves as leaders. You talk about 7 fundamental management skills. Could you share some of those with us?
I can. I focus first on leadership itself, and I provide a framework for thinking about leadership, starting with setting a clear destination for your organization, all the way through developing your team. But leadership itself is a key framework in the book. Then I have a framework on developing an organization and helping to build capabilities. I have a framework on developing people on a one-on-one basis. And then I move into brand positioning, which I think is important in any organization.
Mm-hmm.
How do you define what your product and service or brand is and communicate that? I focus on customer relationships, which are important in any business. And then finally, I focus on financial management, which is underpinned so much. And then to round it all out, influencing skills, which help bring to life all of those frameworks that are included in the book.
Well, it's a pretty good set of skills to have here. Now, jumping back to the first one, leadership and management, you talk about creating a focus, a vision, a destination for the organization. And you share some stories in that section of the book about, you know, having meetings and strategy sessions and so on. I wonder if you could just share how some of these things happened in real life for you.
Well, for example, at Coca-Cola, and when I was running the North America business, we believe we could accelerate volume growth, revenue growth, really from the low single digits to high single digits. And the first thing that we did was we said for ourselves, how do we paint a very vivid destination or picture of what Coca-Cola in North America could look like? And we involved not only the senior leadership team, but people throughout the organization. And we came up with a destination that some said was a little bit bold, some said was a little bit obnoxious, but the notion was creating a 360-degree Coca-Cola landscape. And that meant that Coke would be available in the marketplace, you know, virtually everywhere that we could thought it was economical and sensible, in vending machines and small stores, in the workplace. So there was an availability aspect to creating a 360-degree landscape.
Is there any risk in setting too high a goal that you just blow your people away and they just can't even mentally get their head around that?
Well, I think that's the balance. I think, you know, concurrent with setting this Coca-Cola landscape destination, which we could communicate around to salespeople and marketing people, we did set a volume growth target of 8%. And that was a very aggressive target. Some said too aggressive, and some said that it might be demotivating. But the reality of it was, you know, the business had been growing at a rate of around 2%, and we were able to accelerate growth, not all the way to 8, but up to 6.
Well, that's pretty good.
Which was a dramatic acceleration, and we rewarded people for that in an aggressive way. And I believe that by setting that very aggressive destination, it caused people to think about what was required to grow Coke in the United States differently than if we'd set a more conservative destination and more conservative target. And we had to free up people's thinking about what availability in the marketplace looked like and how to better market and advertise and promote our brands in retail stores. And only by setting that very aggressive target did I think we could free up thinking and get to some more aggressive actions that could maximize growth. So we fell a little bit short, but we went much further than I think we might have had we been more conservative. And I think a leader has to be able to, of course, sort of seek that balance.
We're talking with Jack Stahl, former president of Coca-Cola and CEO at Revlon. We're talking about his book, Lessons on Leadership, The 7 Fundamental Management Skills for Leaders at All Levels. Jack, when you go about leading an organization, each company, large and small, medium-sized, has its own culture and its own way of doing things. Is that something that's critical, or should you really just ignore that and just go on your instincts?
Well, I think it does start with having a clear understanding of where the organization is and where people are. And when I went to Revlon, it was a different environment than Coke. It hadn't had the recent track record that Coke had, and we had to get a clear understanding of why that was and what were people's attitudes towards the progress of the company in the last several years. And that started out with, you know, a tremendous amount of listening on a one-on-one basis to leaders in the organization and people and manufacturing plants and the sales force at all levels. And once we understood where we were and what the barriers were to success, then we could create a plan. And so by listening, you did get an understanding of that culture, and you got a better understanding of where it needed to be changed and what behaviors needed to change to accelerate growth at Revlon, and we did have good progress in that area.
The third framework, as you call it in your book, is about developing people. And you just touched on that a little bit. One of the things you get into is using mistakes strategically. I'm wondering if, not to put you on the spot, if there are any stories you could share about that or just about the whole process of developing people.
Well, I think on the notion of using mistakes strategically, you know, one of the things that I outline in the book, and where I had more than my share, and one of the ones that I outlined there was I was already chief financial officer of the company, and I was traveling to Europe, in this case to Vienna, Austria, to review business plans for about a week and a half. But when I got there, our CEO, a man by the name of Roberto Goizueta, he had discovered an error in one of our internal financial reports. And he called me the minute I hit the ground in Austria and said to me, Jack, there's this error in our internal reports. How are you going to deal with it? And I said, well, Roberto, I've got my people focused on it. And when I get back in a week and a half, we can talk about the why and what we're going to do to solve it. And he said to me over the telephone, I'd been there now all of about 6 hours and had just unpacked my bags and toilet articles and everything else. And he said, Jack, he said, when are you coming home to deal with it? And I said, well, as I said, a week and a half. And he said, no, when is the next flight that you're going to be on to come back to Atlanta? And he was making a point that details were important and I needed to focus on the details of the business and I needed to send that message to the financial organization. And so you can imagine, I got on that next flight after being in Austria all of about an hour and a half and came back to Atlanta to go address the problem. And he was sending me that message that this kind of error, this kind of lack of attention to detail was not acceptable. And boy, from that point, it reinforced that message in my own mind, and it helped me carry that message to the rest of the financial staff. And so he was using that mistake, if you will, strategically to help shape data attitudes about, in this case, the importance of details.
Sure. So there's a lesson to be learned even when there's a mistake made.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I think, you know, the bigger, even bigger opportunity in developing people is to be very clear on what skills are required for success. And I talk about the skill at seeing opportunities in the marketplace and planning and executing and working as part of the team and being clear about what those skills are and putting people in roles where they have a chance to be challenged. And then you can have ongoing conversations with them. Conversation is so important about their progress and what their challenges are. And it's amazing placing people in the right roles, being clear about what skills are important, and just having ongoing dialogue, ongoing conversation in the elevator or late at night or over dinner, how that can accelerate a person's development. And so I do focus on some very precise models for helping to develop people and accelerate growth.
In your next section of the book, you talk about brand positioning, and Coca-Cola is one of the great icons of American business and has such a tremendous brand name. When you're in that position, I'm just curious, how do you further the brand when you're already dealing with something that's ubiquitous like that?
Well, I think the key to that is to always remember what the core of the brand is. And in Coke's case, it was around the idea of refreshment and great taste and being real and genuine. You can probably remember the Real Thing advertising campaign.
Oh, sure.
Depending how old you might be and how old your listeners might be. But once you've reinforced that core, then the idea is to put new layers on the brand and build around it and continue to extend it out to attract new users. And in this case, I'll use the example of Sprite, which was another company brand. Sprite was about its lemon-lime taste, and we had reinforced that message for years. It had carried the brand so far. And then we began to say, okay, let's extend the brand out with teenagers. And we began to communicate a message that image was nothing, thirst was everything. And we used rap music, and we built a new layer around the brand that wasn't inconsistent with the lemon-lime positioning. It just extended it out further. So I think you've constantly got to look for ways to put new layers onto your brand to extend its reach and at the same time stay true to your core. And I think even an established brand like Coca-Cola or Sprite, which has been around for a long time, you can continue to create growth around that.
Join us next time for another Talk Zone Newsmaker interview.